Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Guys, I just love the excitement in the room. Isn't that amazing? So the beautiful thing about prophecy is that God is just calling a few of us to be donkeys. Have you seen that in Scripture? A donkey that prophesies. So I'm happy to be a donkey. How many of you are happy to be a donkey? So we honestly don't have to be special. I love just the heart and what Brad said. And I'm hoping truly that by the end of this weekend, you're all going to realize, hey, but actually I've been doing it. So how many of you have already started feeling some unctions and feelings and prophetic words for people around you last night? Isn't that amazing? It's already here. It's doing it. So we're going to have some great fun today. I'd love for us to just start with a prophetic word that Ainsley has got for us for this morning, and then we'll take it from there.
Last night, I just feel like the Lord broke, well, He did. He broke off a lot of stuff. He broke off this thing of performance, and He broke off this identity thing of finding our identity in things that weren't what He wants, and He broke those things off. But I feel like this morning, sometimes after something like that, you feel a little bit, what now? Now I'm not that, but now what am I now? And it's almost like I see this rose bush that has been, I don't know if you've seen, they've chopping down to just about nothing, and you feel like that's where you're at now. And the Lord, I just feel He's saying, it's okay to be there, and don't try to now and grow yourself and try to, it's okay to just be and be in His space, be in his presence, and allow Him to take you on a journey of discovering Him. And as you discover Him, you discover yourself. You discover, okay, I'm created in Your image. This is who You've created me to be. And it's a beautiful journey. It's not the way the world works where it's like, no, you must be a specific type of person. It's a journey of just saying, Jesus, okay, so this is who I am. I am in You. So as I discover You, I discover who I am.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You know, there's a portion of Scripture in Matthew chapter 10 where it says that if we want to follow Him, we need to take up our cross and follow Him. And if we don't want to take up our cross, we're not worthy of Him. You all know this portion of Scripture. The amazing thing is that if you look in the book of, in the translation, the Message, this is how it reads. It says, if your first concern is to find yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if your first concern is to find Jesus, you won't only find Him, but you'll find yourself. It's an amazing thing. So that's really what we're after this morning, is Jesus. That's all we're after. And I love the fact that He actually knows best. And we're going to have some great fun this morning. So as I said last night, is for the remainder of this day, we're going to be breaking up into two different courses or streams, if you like. The one we refer to as demystifying the prophetic. And that's really to take you and give you a very firm and a very biblical, very clear foundation in the prophetic. And we'll create a lot of space for you to step into exercising that gift and exercising different ways in which we can hear God and engage with God. But then we also have a second stream, which we call deeper in the prophetic. So that might be for some of the guys and girls here that are already prophesying, and you want to go deeper in the prophetic. So what we'll do there is obviously, again, we'll massage in some of the truths from Scripture and some of our understanding and theology. But then we'll also open up potentially some new ways for you to hear God and maybe improve on your accuracy and the regularity of your gift. And please, before we start, I want to say this, is that I've been doing the prophetic thing since I got, in a sense, filled with the Holy Spirit, which was, almost 20 years ago. But the reality is this, is that even for me, I still have nothing before I prophesy. It never changes. So I want you to know that it's always, always, always a step of faith. It never gets easier than that. I have nothing, and I decide, I say, Lord God, You want to use me? I'm stepping out, and as I step out, God comes and He fills the gaps. That's what happened. So if you're in that space where you think, I don't know, this is hard work, well, join the club. For all of us, it's the same. But we're going to give you different ways and start helping you or help you to start building a reference to the faithfulness of our Father. As we have an increased reference of faithfulness, we have more guts to step out because we know that He's been faithful up to now. And we're going to be doing that. And then obviously we have the kids stream for all the primary school kids. and that's going to happen as well. So this is my friend Gerard. He's all the way from Nelspruit, and he's been traveling with us for quite some time, and I'm very excited to see what God is not only doing in him, but through him. And I really want to ask you to please open your hearts. There's going to be some wonderful impartation and instruction coming from him, and I'd love for you to be ready for that. You all good with that? Good.
Good morning, everybody. So I am Gerard, as Zach said. I wonder if I must also go with all the names. Anyway, not important. I'm a doctor. I am from Nelspruit. And why I say I'm a doctor is just for you to understand one thing. Zach touched on it last night. You do not have to be carrying a church title to be used of God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Isn't that great? The beauty of what the Holy Spirit does in us. We do not have to carry titles. I just feel there's something that God wants to do right there. So can we just take a moment? As you're sitting in your chair, just close your eyes for a second. And just let that truth settle in your heart. You do not have to be a somebody to be used by God. Thank you, Lord. As you sit there, I just want to ask you, how do you see yourself? Just think about that for a second. How do you see yourself? So last night we started off with a couple of thoughts. And what I want to say to us this morning, I'm sure you would have heard before, but the heart and the nature of God is to be a communicator. Now I find that in the church today, in our surroundings and so on, probably the biggest issue we have is communication. On the one side, we think that God doesn't speak to us, right? Is he still talking today? Well, is he even speaking to me? No. He's speaking to the somebodies, right? I hope you heard me very well in the beginning. You don't have to be a somebody to hear God and to speak on his behalf. Oops, did I even say that? To speak on his behalf. That is what a prophet is. It's one who speaks on behalf of someone else. It means you carry a message. Have you passed the message on, Jenny? Of course. When we were kids, we played broken telephone. Somebody shared something in one ear, you pass the message on. Now, that's even a beautiful picture of New Testament prophecy because we don't get it 100% right. You know? As the message gets passed on, it comes into one ear. You know, sometimes there's a little bit of filtering that happens. It's human. And what comes out the other side is influenced by who you are. And isn't it even beautiful? In the imagery of last night, the Lord said, well, we're all clay pots. You know what he's done? When the Holy Spirit came upon you at salvation, or into you, living inside of you, he's put his treasure within you. It's almost like the picture of a magician that pulls on something. You know those little, all these, whatever, what do you call them? Flags and whatever they pull from their hands. Start and it keeps going. That's what the Lord does with you if you're willing. Start pulling on something. It's his nature that comes up if you allow him. And that's all you really need to do. Zach was talking about it last night. That in essence, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit works together. When it comes to prophecy, they work together. Remember what it says in Genesis? It says, God speaking to God, let us make man in our image. Let us. You know? Ready in the Hebrew Bible, if we can say that, even within the Jewish mindset, it should say, God is not just one. We don't understand that. He's one, but he's not one. Three in one. That's what we believe. Isn't it beautiful that they communicate one to the other? Always, you know, Jesus says, I do what I hear the Father do, or I do what I see the Father do. And the Holy Spirit comes to remind you of everything that Jesus said and did when he was on the earth. They always reflect one another. That's who God is. He communicates. He's forever busy communicating. And the beautiful thing about it is, just as we ourselves have different personalities and different ways of doing things, so he comes in his own precious way and speaks to us in unique ways. So can I settle something in your heart this morning? And that is, you've seen a little bit of an expression of the prophetic heart last night. You may sit here and say, well, that's how it should be. Can I rock the boat? Break another pot? Scripture says that there are different ways the prophetic can come upon us. Now, if we go to the Hebrew words that are defined as prophet in English, it's interesting, it's not just one. In fact, let me read you a scripture. I think it's from 2 Kings, but let's just go there. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 29. Now the acts of King David, first and last, indeed they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer. Now this is where we're so limited in English. Samuel the seer, in Hebrew, Samuel the Ra'ah. It means the one who sees. So for some of you, you might experience God speaking to you in pictures, impressions, visions. You go outside, you notice something, and it speaks to your heart. That's the Holy Spirit highlighting something. You might have a dream. Dreams sometimes mean things. Sometimes they don't. It's just whatever we ate last night. Samuel the seer, Ra'ah, perceptions, impressions. Does it have to be something that you actually see? Well, there's examples in the Bible of that happening. Remember Daniel, the handwriting on the wall? Others also saw that. So here comes Nathan. The Bible says Nathan is a prophet. Now, that word in Hebrew is nabi. That's a very interesting thing, because it means one who's a spokesperson, essentially one who bubbles forth. Remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit? He said that from your innermost being, streams of living water would come forth. It's like a stream that bubbles up. It's in the moment. As you start speaking, more comes. Zach was just sharing with you, I never have anything when I start. But as I open my mouth, I take a step of faith into that space, boom. Things start bubbling up like a spring. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit within. Nathan, the neighbor. Right, and then there's Gad, the seer. Now in English, Samuel the seer, Gad the seer. Is there a difference? Oh yeah, there is. In Hebrew, remember Samuel was the Ra'ah, the one who sees. Gad the seer, Jose. Now, don't mind the Hebrew. I'm just trying to show you that it's different. Now, what's Gad? Now, that word in the Hebrew means to stargaze. Now, what happens when you stargaze? It's stars, right? Yeah. But the more you look at it, what happened with the ancients? They started seeing pictures in the stars. Wow. How beautiful is that? That God allows you to partner with him. As you gaze upon something, as you meditate, thank you, Brad, depth, understanding comes. So settle something in your heart. Your human understanding was given to you by God to work together with the revelation that is supernatural and comes from the Spirit. It doesn't mean that you cannot use your understanding. No. That is what Jose is. One who meditates, ponders, As you think things over, the depth of understanding increases. Isn't that beautiful? That's all in the Hebrew. It means being prophetic is not one expression. It doesn't just come in one way, as you saw last night. There are other ways. So can I just put the freedom of God upon you? If you experience God in a different way than what you've observed, yay, let's celebrate the freedom of the Spirit. Amen? What does Scripture say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. In fact, we should even go as far as to say is where the Spirit of the Lord is allowed to reign, there is freedom. Or even that, yes, Brad. Where the Spirit is the Lord, there is freedom. Of course.
Sorry for taking your time. Just want to quickly say, God, just a couple of weeks ago, just started with me with this revelation. And I just felt I had to say it now because of what Gerard just said. If you look at the sins of the devil, it's all known. Okay? It's in the Bible. It's adultery. long list, drinking, whatever, no? Do not get drunk from wine, etc. It's all known. If you go and have a look all over the world, the sins are the same. In Italy, Germany, America, all sins are the same. Why? Because it's from the accuser. It's from Satan, the same, all over the world. But what I love about what you say now is the fruit of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit is different. And it's different for every single person on this continent. And that's what makes it so amazing, because you never know what's going to be next. But like you say, you need to be willing, and then God will show you what is going to be next.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. So I want something to settle within your heart. You're unique. The Lord speaks to you in a unique way. And the expression of His heart through you is going to be unique as well. We should celebrate that. Scripture says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. It means we can control the unctions that we experience. I can either step out and speak, or I can keep quiet. So can you. Now, if it's true that God is a communicator, where do you think the enemy would come with his first and foremost attack? There's evidence of that in verse 15. Here comes the enemy to Eve. The serpent, the Bible calls him. He says, has God indeed said? Have you experienced that? Feel something in your heart, have a little thought. What's the first thing that comes? Whew, that can't be God, it must be me. Right? Or maybe, is that the devil? Can I trust this? It's the first and foremost place where the enemy comes to steal what God wants to do. Has God indeed said? Because He is a communicator. He's forever busy sharing His thoughts. Zach shared from Psalm 139 last night. Whoa! What an incredible revelation. The thoughts of God over all of you, over me, all of us, as many as the grains of the sand on the beach. Now let me settle something else in your heart. Is it possible to be wrong when you share a word of encouragement with someone? Think about that for a moment. Remember that Zach settled what the main purpose of the prophetic is, and I'll come back to that in a moment. But it's to strengthen, to encourage, and comfort. Now, if we speak a word that is encouraging, it meets those criteria. Can we be wrong as long as we stay within the confines of who Scripture says God is? No. You cannot be wrong. Something can happen, though, and I'm going to say this, but I don't want you to fear when I say this. it's possible for me to share something that is not in season. Paul talks about that. Be ready in and out of season. So if it's not in season, it means I can tell Brad, Jesus loves you. Am I right? You know, he's got good thoughts over you. It's right. It's scriptural. If he knows that already, it's not what he needs today. It's not in season, maybe, in the true sense of the word. But it's not wrong. So it's safe. Can you settle that in your heart? Safe. Sometimes there's a moment where saying something as simple as Jesus loves you speaks to the depths of your heart because it's where you're at. That's a word in season. It breaks down every single wall the enemy has built around you or that you've participated in. You know, we do that. We help with that building process. In season. Can you allow the weight of that to settle in your heart? I want to put it to you this morning that it's impossible to be wrong when you share a word that is encouraging, comforting, or strengthening, and it reflects who God is. You cannot be wrong. Take the step. Be free this morning. When there's opportunity, take that step because you cannot be wrong. Precious. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's go back to what Zach shared last night. In fact, before I do that, ma'am, what's your name? Yes, Christy. So Christy, last night I just saw the compassion of Jesus coming upon you. You know, as we were worshiping, I saw the compassionate heart of Jesus. And as he was walking through the crowd, Scripture says he was moved with compassion. And then I felt the Lord just wanted to come next to you and say to you, he's got abundance for you. In this season, he wants to pour out his lavishness upon you, the abundance of who he is upon you. His compassion is upon you. Now, the comfort, the strengthening, the encouragement that Scripture says, what does it really mean? So if we talk about encouragement, can I say to you there's an example in Scripture where the Israelites were traveling from Egypt on the way to the Promised Land. Can we identify with that? We're all on a journey, right? We came from somewhere, we're going somewhere. Now, as the enemy wants to be, he comes and nibbles, if I may say that, at our backside. So there's a little example there of the nation of Amalek. They came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim, the Bible says. And in that space, when they came to attack the Israelites, remember what Moses did? He went up on the hill, raised his arms. When his arms were up in the air, they were winning the battle down in the valley. And as he got tired, you know, let his arms down, they were losing. Now here comes Aaron and Hur alongside Moses. And they did a very simple thing. Hey, Brad, can you help me and hold my arm up there? That becomes quite easy. Takes the work out of it for me. And victories are won. That's the essence of why we are called into the body. Hey, would you just come stand next to me and help hold my arm up? How easy is that? So easy. It's not super spiritual. It's a very natural thing we do. Just come next to somebody and you share something that's going to keep their arms in the air. So simple. So incredibly simple. Now, Zach was saying last night, everything is built on the foundation of comfort. Now, is it easy to comfort someone? The better you know them, the easier it is. Speaking words of comfort comes from the heart of God. To know the heart of God is to spend time with Him. Just get to know what He's like. You know what He's like? Jesus came to earth to reflect who God is. See the things that Jesus did? You get a sense of the compassionate heart of God over people. Like He's got over Christy. It's Christy, right? Yeah. Just before I forget. The compassionate heart of God over people. Just share a little grain from the beach. Grain of sand from the beach. Boom. Hey, God thinks about me. The power of life and death in our tongues. In the moment, boom, hey, God remembers you. It might be so insignificant in your mind, the word you share, but you don't know where I'm at. It might be just the thing I want. Little example. A lady sat in an audience like this. Man was busy sharing like I'm doing. And he just became aware of a name, like a name just dropped in his heart. Now, what's the meaning of a name? Significant to you if it's yours. And he kept feeling this urge to share the name. Now, there's no message to the name, it's just a name. And when he did take the courage to say, I just have this name, I'm just going to release the name. Boom, share the name. Someone jumped up at the back of the audience and made wagon wheels all the way to the front of the stage. What's this? She was so excited. I sat in my chair and I said, Lord, if you see me, would you say my name? Wow. It's simple. It's even insignificant in our minds. I have nothing, just a name. But relevant in the situation, boom. The thing is, guys, like Zach says, you don't know whether what you're going to share is significant or not. If you did, it would be easy. It takes the whole thing of risking out of the equation. Is it about being right or wrong? So let me paint a picture for you quickly about the difference between an Old Testament and a New Testament prophet. So here we come in the Old Testament, governance of the people of God rests on the prophet. They give guidance. This way, that way, don't do this. God says, if you go this way, this is going to be the end result. I want you to go a different way, this way. Now, the New Testament is a bit different. What happened in the Old Testament if the prophet was wrong? Did you bring your bag of stones? Yeah, thankfully, the New Testament is different. There goes the weight off the shoulders. The evidence of a false prophet in the Old Testament or the Old Covenant is say something, it doesn't come true. False prophet. Praise the Lord, we have Jesus. So, for today, it's not about being right or wrong. The measure of a false prophet in the New Testament under the New Covenant is not whether you're right or wrong. The Bible says, if someone says, this is prophetic, and it turns your heart away from Jesus having come to earth in the flesh, then it's false. But Revelation 19 says, worship God, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If it turns your heart towards Jesus, who he is, what he did for you, it's true. That's the measure of truth versus false under the new covenant. So again, I want to release you. This is not about throwing stones, right or wrong. So don't let the enemy come lie to you today and say, be quiet because you're not sure whether you are going to be right or wrong. That's not the measure of the prophetic in the new covenant. Be free. Okay, so I just want to come back lastly. How much time do we still have, Jenny? I want to come back to what Zach said last night about the purpose of the prophetic. So if you remember 1 Corinthians 14, maybe you can just read it again. In chapter 14, of 1 Corinthians, now Paul has been talking about the gifts in chapter 12. And many of the gifts of the Holy Spirit actually center around communication, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and so on. Again, very important to God that we understand he speaks today He speaks to us and he speaks through us. So here's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we put emphasis last night on verse 3. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Different translations use different words. So let's go with the one that says strengthens, encourages, comforts. That's the primary purpose of the prophetic in the church age. Bring some strength, lift up your arms. Encourage you. Hebrews 12 says, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. They spur us on. Keep running. Somebody comes alongside you and says, hey, it's not over yet. Keep going. What God has for you in your latter days is more, greater, deeper than what he had for you in your earlier days. The cloud of witnesses encourages us to keep going. Who's part of the cloud of witnesses? Just those who've died? No. The body. You, ma'am. You, sir. You, sir. Because you can say something that's going to encourage me to keep going. And like I said, because there's so many grains of sand on the beach, you can't be wrong. Take the step. Right. So, then it says, also to comfort, I've spoken about it. If you go one verse further on, in verse 4, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Now, for me as an Afrikaans boy, I was like, what does that mean? Edify. You know, as a doctor, we get taught another language. And could you care to raise your hand if you never understand what your doctor says to you? Yeah. Sad, right? So what is edification? The word, original word, talks about building. It's building. So what happened last night? Jeremiah chapter 1, where God says, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. In some instances, you're going to uproot, break down, destroy. Old mindsets, old ways of thinking. And then I'm going to allow you to build up, establish, plant, settle. I'm adding a few words that say the same thing. Right? So edification means exactly what Romans says. Let's not be conformed to this world, but be renewed. Or by, be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Right? We all know that scripture. That is edification. The prophetic comes and says, hey, what you think about yourself is not what God thinks. Break down, break down, break down. Shatter the pot. And says, hey, there's a different reality here. God thinks about you in a different, fresh, new way. Boom. What it speaks to is our identity. Hey, don't think like that. It's not true. Think like this. And then, of course, we have to maintain that. Doesn't help I just say to you today, sir, you're thinking about yourself in the wrong way, think like this, and then you forget about it tomorrow. So the prophetic comes and reminds us. It brings confirmation sometimes of something that God had said to you before. It's in your heart already. He comes, he just highlights and confirms it again. It's not super spiritual. How did I know? I didn't. I just shared the thought that came to mind. And the Holy Spirit is the beautiful one that's between my lips and your ears. Can I set you free another way? I'll give you an example. In the beginning of March, I had the privilege to be with the team in Potch. You're with Gabriel. And in a session, a young man shared a word. I was talking about the prophetic having different angles. We all see different things, right? Now, from your angle, you might not see what I see from my angle. That's what the Bible says. We know in part, we prophesy in part. We need each other to bring the full picture. God's so clever. Can't be just about one person. Right, so he takes, I had a bunch of keys. I sent it around, people looked at it, they saw different things. Some saw the keychain, the rings, some saw the different types of keys, different materials keys are made of, and so on. And I said, okay, take this. Whatever you heard people say, you can take your own understanding of what you see or what somebody else said. Whatever stands out and is highlighted to you, you can take a moment, ask God who in the group that might be for. Who can you encourage with that? And he looked around in the group and I saw his heartbeat going faster. Because it's a little stressful. It's natural. And he saw a lady sitting opposite from him, about 60 years old or so. Went and sat on the carpet in front of her. He showed a little something there. It was beautiful. Came and sat at her feet. He was humbling himself. Without even realizing it, he was just humbling himself. He sat there on the carpet, played with the keys, and I could see he's praying. Lord, what should I say? What if I'm wrong? The things that go through our minds when we're in a situation like that. And he took a step of faith. He risked. He said to her, I feel that God says that he's going to give you a key to open a new door. God does that, right? Great. Other people came in. They added on. Yeah, you know, when I looked at the keys, I saw that, and I want to share that with you. And it became like this little thing. It was mushrooming. Boom, 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 boom. And at the end, I said to her, I'd never done this before. I said to her, ma'am, would you be willing to tell us, what did you hear this young man say to you, the very first word that was given? Guess what she said? I was blown away. She said, I heard him say, God says I'm going to unlock a door for you that you can walk through that you were previously too afraid and scared to do. Did he say anything about fear? Not one single word. Rest assured, the beauty of the power of the Spirit of God is between my lips and your ears, the Holy Spirit, somewhere in between. We don't understand how it works, but he saves it. Isn't that great? Freedom. Do not be scared. The mind of God over all of you is the grains of sand on the beach. When you do take a risk and say something, the Holy Spirit makes the one who hears hear exactly what God wants in the moment. It's not about you. It's not about you at all. Let's make a little analogy, and then I'm going to stop, and we're going to practice. If a prophecy is a message from the heart of God to you, to someone else, and a prophet is one who delivers the message, it's like saying, do you have a son, sir? Have you ever written him a little letter? Now, he writes a letter to his son. If you give me the letter to deliver to him, I'm just the one who delivers the letter. When your son receives the letter, how will he know that it comes from you? The content. The way it comes across. He reads it. He sees his father's heart in the words. There's a little revelation of a memory. Remember the thing we did together? I didn't know about that. But the minute he reads, he picks up the heart of God in the message. I'm just the one who delivers the message. Later today, I'm going to talk a bit more about how to give a word. And we're going to talk a little bit about who's it for, when to give it, and those kind of things. But I just want to say to you in the moment, you're just the one delivering the message. If God writes it, the one who hears it will immediately know, no, this comes from the Father. Freedom. Would you like to say that out loud? Freedom! Be free. Right, so last thing on my heart is, I saw Zach wearing something this morning. It said ID, identity. That's the last place the enemy comes and breaks us down. Sometimes he uses people. Sometimes he uses circumstances. Sometimes he even uses yourself. Just breaks down how you see yourself. Remember Gideon in the wine press? What did he say to the angel. I'm the least of my clan. The spies that went into the promised land, what did they say? We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. My goodness, how did they know that? I'm sure they didn't go up to the giants and ask them, hey, what do you think about us? You limit yourself. What God says about you is infinitely beyond you can imagine. So much bigger than you can imagine. Over Jesus, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Let me ask you, when last did you experience God saying that over you? This is my beloved Son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. As a father, I'm not one, but as a father, is your pleasure based in the fact or whatever your child can do, their performance? No, it's not. It's just in the fact that they're your child. That's the heart of God. His pleasure is on you because of who he is. So let's take a moment. I want you to just maybe pick somebody that you don't know. Let's just split the group up a little bit. Someone you don't know. So, not the two of you. And what we're going to do is just to sit down and say, when last did I experience for myself God saying over me, this is my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. And the minute you start thinking about what you are doing or what you have done, you must know that's the enemy. Because God doesn't remind you about the past. He just sees Jesus. What does Colossians say? You died. You were hidden in Christ. It's like he clothes you. And all that the Father sees when he looks at you is Jesus. The scripture says every promise in Christ is yes. And say it. Amen. Right. So do that quickly. Find someone you don't know. And we're just going to sit together. We'll start off with just a moment. When last did you experience God say, my beloved son, beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased? Can you do that quickly? Please? It's you. Lord, let them see the revelation of you are my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm going to give you a moment to do that. Don't go beyond that. Just that revelation. And then I'll lead us in one step further. Right, so in the moment, you can keep on praying if you're still busy. In the moment, I've settled hopefully in your heart that God communicates. And he ain't going to stop with saying, you're my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. So I want you to just take a moment with the person that you're with and say, Lord, what would be the next thing you're going to say? Remember, he's got good thoughts. He wants to encourage, strengthen, and comfort. Take a moment. Just whatever settles on your heart. Memory for yourself, a scripture, picture, whatever comes. And I want you to just take the bold step and share that with the person next to you as, this is the next thing God says. If he had to open his mouth again after saying, this is my beloved son, daughter, in whom I'm well pleased, what's the next thing he's going to say? And we're just going to trust God that he wants to say a few things over each other. Go for it. Final picture over you. And I feel this picture is relevant to all of you. So if you're not yet finished, there's the whole rest of the day. You've made a little connection with the person that you're with. Don't stop. There's lunch. Go back and continue sharing those good thoughts that God has over that person. So I want to share this little picture with you. You know, when somebody is a glass blower, they take something that has no form and shape, goes into heat, it's warmed up, and then depending on what you want to achieve, either you blow slowly into that piece of glass and it starts taking shape. Or if you have a mold, put it into the mold and you blow hard and fast, and it goes into every little crevice, crook, nook, cranny, whatever. Boom. And I felt for some of you that the Lord says that in the course of today, He's doing that. In various areas of your life, He's coming and blowing upon you. And the Spirit comes almost just like this quick thing that shapes you in a fresh way right into what He has for you today. So I want you to just take the rest of this day, as you go through what we're busy sharing, just allow God to continue to blow over and into you. Amen? Thank you, guys.